Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear Riley and I do blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Yeah, do it.
Do it. $3 a month.
Feed our family. You can cut that out.
Nope.
Today's episode trigger warnings are sexual assault, suicide, violence, and explicit sexual content.
Heavy topics, heavy topics. And I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from the Delulu is the Salulu, and she's taken. And it says, listening to this with my BF right now. And she was listening to the Get in My Swamp one, which is such a good, that's a throwback.
It is. And to listen to it with your boyfriends, that's a choice.
That is a choice.
That is a choice.
A good choice. I like that choice.
I just remember Fiona's boyfriend was cheating on her with his own sister.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A classic.
Might listen to that.
And today, we are telling Riley all about Bared to You by Sylvia Day. And stay tuned to the end of the episode if you want to hear our ratings.
Ava just moved to Manhattan from San Diego with her spunky male friend, Carrie.
Did you say spunky?
Spunky.
It's her GBF. Well, he's like her BBF.
What's that?
He's not like her gay best friend. He's her bi best friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they don't hook up.
Okay.
Even though they're both total hotties.
They are described as very hot people.
Love that. Love hot people.
They do hold more value in this world.
Instead of going out for happy hour with him, she decides to take a walk to see her new place of employment at the advertising agency. She'll be working for Mark Garrity, and when she arrives, she watches a woman upend her purse, so she helps her clean it up. As she's chasing loose change, she runs into a nice pair of Oxford shoes and a custom three-piece suit. She looks up, and the man is gorgeous.
Of course.
She gives the woman her change back, and the gorgeous man watches her the whole time. Afterwards, she leaves for the gym, where she meets someone who invites her to Krav Maga.
Krav Maga?
What's that?
A form of martial arts, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Later, she tells Carrie all about the hottest man in the world, and Carrie's pissed that she didn't shoot her shot with him. She tells him that this was not the type of guy to do that with. After dinner, two packages arrive for them from her filthy rich parents for a charity at the end of the month. One package is a dress for Ava and a suit for Carrie because they know that he will be her plus one. The next day, she arrives 10 minutes early to set up her new desk, and Mark Garrity is a patient man. They spend the whole day of him showing her his accounts that he's working on and getting her up to speed at the job. At the end of her first shift, Carrie demands happy hour since she bailed yesterday. She says okay and hops on the elevator only for it to stop a couple floors down and the gorgeous man from the lobby walks in. She has a very sexually charged elevator ride down with him and then meets Carrie in the lobby for drinks. The next day, she's a little bit hungover, but Mark tells her that she's the lucky charm because they might have landed an account for Kingsman Vodka. He has a meeting tomorrow, and the timeline to get everything done is short, so she needs to stay late tonight, and she's totally fine with that. She meets Mark's husband, Steve, and he brings them dinner, which turns out to be super fun. They all leave at 8 p.m., and then Thursday, they scramble to get everything prepared for the 4 p.m. meeting. Mark asks her to join him, and she's thrilled to see everything that they worked for in the last 24 hours come to fruition. They ride the elevator up to Cross Industries, and as soon as she walks into the conference room, she jolts to a stop. It's the sexy, gorgeous man from the lobby again, and he's at the table where they will be pitching their idea and all of their hard work. He's introduced as Mr. Cross, and after the pitch, Mr. Cross wants Ava's opinion. When she gives it, he abruptly stops her mid-sentence and says that he'll be in touch and walks them to the elevator. But as Mark's getting on, Mr. Cross keeps Ava behind for a word with her. When the elevator leaves, he gets right to the point.
Are you sleeping with anyone? I inhaled sharply. Why is that any business of yours? He looked at me and I saw what I'd seen the first time we'd met. Tremendous power and steely control, both of which had me taking an involuntary step back. Again, at least I didn't fall this time. I was making progress. Because I want to fuck you, Ava. I need to know what's standing in my way, if anything. The sudden ache between my thighs had me reaching for the wall to maintain my balance. He reached out to steady me, but I held him at bay with an uplifted hand. Maybe I'm just not interested, Mr. Cross. Okay, that is so crazy. I feel like, how would you even react to that?
Yeah, today is the first time that he's ever talked to her, and he's only met her twice before.
Yeah, that's crazy. But he's hot.
But apparently he's very hot.
Well, what do you say?
He smiles and says, until next time, and then she climbs in the elevator and gets back to work. Later that night, she tells Carrie everything that happened as Carrie starts Googling his name. Mr. Cross is named Gideon, and he owns the whole building where Ava works.
Of course. Everyone's so rich.
I know. Carrie thinks he isn't interested in hiring Mark, and it's more about Ava, and Ava doesn't agree with that at all. And then she asks Carrie to check out the Krav Maga class with her. At the class, Carrie says that her parents are not going to be happy about this, and then she tells him she's not going to tell them about it because her mom's going to be weird and think it's because of what happened before, when really it's just for exercise and stress relief. And then she signs up for it the same night. So this was like a trial class, and then you can sign up for it if you want to join.
Why won't she tell her mom?
Because her mom thinks it's because of what happened to her previously.
And what happened to her?
You won't know.
Do we get to find out?
Maybe. The next day, her stepdad Richard calls her and invites her to lunch. Even though he's going to see her tomorrow, he needs to talk to her today. Mark gives her a 2-hour lunch to do whatever she needs to do with her stepdad, and the town car picks her up and takes her to his office. Lunch is laid out in the conference room, and he comes in and gets straight to the point. He knows about her interest in the Krav Maga class and knows that she was there last night and signed up for it. She has no idea how he would know that, since she just went there last night, unless Carrie said something, but she doubts it. Richard tells her that her mom tracks her cell phone and has been for years now.
Oh my God. And how old is she?
24.
Holy shit.
She is understandably upset and says that it needs to stop. He says it makes her mom feel better, and from now on, she's also going to take the town car instead of hailing cabs and taking Ubers. She again is upset and says that all of this enables her mom and it's keeping her mom sick, and then she leaves. She takes the town car back to work and takes the elevator upstairs, only it stops at the floor Gideon's on, and he gets on the elevator asking her what's wrong, and she tells him, "You're what's wrong."
No, girl.
He asks her if she thought more about his offer, and she says, "Yeah, still no." The elevator stops and he leads her off onto his floor and to his office. He closes the door and says he has a meeting at 2:00, so they need to figure this out.
"What do you think we're going to work out?" Sighing, he scooped me up like a bride and carried me over to the sofa. He dropped me on my butt, then sat next to me. "Your objections. It's time to discuss what it's going to take to get you beneath me." Okay. Oh my God. This is so silly.
Straight to the point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not fucking around.
No, man who knows what he wants.
Yeah.
She says that she has to go, and he asks if she wants seduction, since neither of them want to date. They're clearly attracted to one another, and she says that she actually wants to be seen as something other than a sex doll, so he changes tactics. She tries to walk out, but he doesn't let her. She leans her head against the door.
His lips brushed behind my ear, one of his hands pressed flat to my stomach, the fingers splaying to urge me back against him. He was as aroused as I was, his cock hard and thick against my lower back. "Turn around and say goodbye." Oh, okay.
Okay.
She turns around and he asks for her to kiss him. She does, and it's the best damn kiss of her life. It's passionate and wild, and the next thing she knows, she's on his couch with his hand going up her thigh, passing her garter. He kisses her, and then he's suddenly standing up and backing away with his assistant on the phone, saying his 2:00 appointment is there. They hurry to fix themselves, and he tells her that he will be done at 5 p.m. and will get her. She says, "Nope, it doesn't change anything," and he says that it does. He will change it to Monday after work just to give her some time.
He says, "Monday, put it in your calendar."
At 5 p.m., her office phone rings. It's her mom calling to let her know that she left her cell phone at Richard's office. She asks her mom what her therapist thinks of the phone stalking and suggests that they go to another joint appointment. Then they make plans for pampering before the gala tomorrow. After she hangs up, it rings again, and it's Gideon. He can't stop thinking about her and looks forward to Monday. Later, when she's at home, she meets Carrie's boyfriend, and then Parker from Krav Maga calls the house phone to let her know that her stepdad is making some improvements, so there's no classes until Monday. So now she's even more pissed because they're interfering and overstepping with the instructor for the class as well.
Yeah, like almost every aspect of her life.
After Carrie's boyfriend leaves, she fills him in on her mom finding out about the class and what has happened since with Gideon. Carrie knows that she has a lot of built-up tension and suggests that they hit the club tonight and look for some men. She's totally game. After a techno club, they get free admittance to a lounge and get put up in the VIP section with free drinks. It's a little weird, but they take it, and as they watch the dance floor below, two men approach asking if they can join. Just as she's about to say, sure, Gideon Cross approaches, placing a hand on her shoulder and says, this one's taken.
Of course he's there.
Carrie's eyes are about to bug out as she introduces the two of them, and then she's demanding to know what the hell Gideon is doing there. Carrie takes this as his cue and leaves them to hit the dance floor, and Ava can't help but think about how sexy Gideon is looking. She asks again what he's doing there, and he says that he owns the club.
Oh, he owns it. Everyone in this book has money. What the fuck?
The waitress drops off more drinks and then he's kissing her. Ava doesn't turn away and kisses him back, but when they break apart, he says that he needs to be inside her. But she wants to know how he knew she was there and how he knew exactly what she liked to drink. He tells her that at the other club they went to, he also owns. Her credit card was used and her name popped up on the system. And then he knew Carrie's name because he clearly Googled it, and he's on the lease to the apartment. So he also owns the apartment complex.
What the fuck?
It's very Chuck Bass.
Not only is her mom stalking, but so is Gideon.
She can't catch a break.
No, everyone wants a piece of her.
She's just too hot.
They switch the topic to how to move their weird situationship to a place where she's comfortable enough to actually fuck him. She says that she'll fuck him if he puts in more effort to actually let her know him and he gets to know her. He says, yeah, for sure. I'm willing to compromise. And then that's like where it's left off at. It's not like forward movement. The next day, she has a gnarly hangover, and Carrie lets her know that a package arrived for her. She opens it to a little hangover kit from Gideon and his phone number on a card. She pockets the card and they get ready for a spa day with her mom. After a day of pampering, she calls Gideon on the house phone to thank him for the hangover kit. He lets her know that he's around the block from her house and will be there shortly, so she needs to buzz him up. She hangs up the phone, wondering what impression he's going to get from her because she's in a tiny little silk robe with her hair and makeup done for the event tonight. When she opens the door to him standing there, he tells her that she took way too long to call him. She asks what the urgency is, and he says he wants her to be his date for the charity dinner tonight. She tries to protest with her mom being there, but he won't take no for an answer and will pick her up at 7. Then he's kissing her, and she's somehow on the couch again. Her robe falls open.
His head lifted, and he looked at me with stormy blue eyes. It's insane, I know. I can't explain it, Ava, but I have to make you come. I've been thinking about it constantly for days now. One of his hands pushed between my legs. They fell open shamelessly, my body so aroused, I was flushed and almost feverish. His other hand continued to plump my breasts, making them heavy and unbearably sensitive. He's like, Ava, I just gotta make you come, girl.
Gross.
He comments on how wet she is, and then he starts fingering her.
I want to feel my cum in you when I fuck you with my fingers. I want you to feel my cum in you so you think about how I looked and the sounds I made when I pumped it into you. And while you're thinking about that, you're going to look forward to me doing it again and again.
Shut up.
Yeah, this is like so cringy. Yeah. I'd be like, okay.
I guess.
Sure. Whatever you want.
She comes, but he's not done yet. He bends down and starts eating her out until she's coming a second time. Then he kisses up her body and closes her robe with a promise to pick her up at 7 p.m. She calls her dad to check in with him and how he's doing in San Diego. And then she turns up Hinder and finishes getting ready.
Oh, yeah, Hinder.
Honey, what you calling me?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Her and Carrie are ready, and Carrie lets her know that he printed Gideon's history for her to read if it helps her feel better and loosen up so she can enjoy being with him. He has a very tragic backstory, like every main male character. His father committed fraud and then killed himself when Gideon was 5. His mom married someone new and had 2 children with them, and it shows all of his dating history, which is mostly curvy brunettes, and she's wondering what he sees in her tall, petite, blonde frame.
She says, I'm just a tall, skinny, blonde hottie. What could he possibly want from me?
Normally you want some brown-haired fat girls.
Then Gideon is knocking at the door, and they all leave. Carrie rides with her parents, and Ava and Gideon take the limo. In the limo, she ends up convincing him to have hot limo sex because she needs him. She pulls his hard dick out of his pants, rolls a condom on, and climbs on top.
He tensed when I wrapped my fingers around him and positioned him, tucking the wide crest against the saturated folds of my cleft.
What the fuck? I believe this book was published in like 2014. So
it shows.
Not quite in with the lingo.
Yeah.
Crest, cleft, folds.
The scent of our lust was heavy and humid in the air, a seductive mix of need and pheromones that awakened every cell in my body. My skin was flushed and tingling, my breasts heavy and tender.
It just smells like ass.
I know.
It just smells like dookie.
Whenever people say it like smells like sex, I'm like, oh, so sweat,
sweaty pussy and balls.
Yeah, some tang.
Yeah.
They both come and then they clean up, but something is off afterwards. She can feel him emotionally pulling away. When they arrive, she runs away from him searching for Carrie. Gideon finds her 2 champagne glasses into the charity event and meets her mom, then tells Ava to not forget that she's here as his date. They eat dinner and he delivers a wonderful speech, and then his brother approaches, introducing himself and asking her to dance. He asks how she knows Gideon, and she downplays what they are, and Christopher, his brother, asks if she's available to date. And she tells him that she's not exactly taken. Carrie ends up taking the next dance, and then halfway through, Gideon interrupts. He tells her to stay away from his brother, and she tells him to stay away from someone named Magdalena, and then he's interrupted by a phone call. She decides to go home and unwind, leaving Carrie, and cries the whole way home. The next morning, she wakes to a massive bouquet of roses and a note that Gideon is still thinking of her. Carrie tells her that the phone kept ringing, so he turned the ringer off. Then she fills him in on what happened and how bad Gideon really is for her. Monday rolls around and Gideon is finally able to talk to her. He apologizes and says that he owes her an explanation for Saturday night and invites her to lunch in his office, and he will not take no for an answer. She says, okay, she'll go up at lunch. And then he goes downstairs to her floor to receive her 10 minutes beforehand and walks her up so she can't ditch.
Okay, pushy.
He faced me as we waited for the car, running his fingertips down the sleeve of my satin blouse. Every time I close my eyes, I see you in that red dress. I hear the sounds you make when you're turned on. I feel you sliding over my cock, squeezing me like a fist, making me come so hard it hurts. All right, Gideon.
Once they're in his office, she tells him that she doesn't want to see him anymore. He again apologizes for his behavior. He got scared and needed to think. He's never actually wanted to be in a relationship before, and she makes him feel a lot of things. He asks for another chance and admits that he might make mistakes along the way since he's never done this, and she says okay, so now they're 100% exclusive.
Damn, I feel like this moved quick.
I know, they know nothing about each other.
After work, Gideon's car takes them to get her a new cell phone, and then they decide to go to his gym. Apparently, it's one of many that he owns.
Right, right.
They change and hit the treadmills for a warm-up. When they separate for their separate workouts, a personal trainer approaches Ava and is kind of pushing about showing her around and signing her up. But Gideon approaches and says, none of that's needed for the owner's girlfriend.
Yeah.
She thanks the man and they walk away to hit the showers, but Ava has another idea.
Wait, I caught his arm before he passed the women's locker room on the way towards the men's. Would it gross you out if I told you I didn't want you to shower? If I said I want you to find someplace really close by where I could jump you while you're still dripping sweat? Gideon's jaw tightened and his gaze darkened dangerously. I'm beginning to fear for your safety, Ava. Grab your stuff. There's a hotel around the corner.
Wait, so she wants like his sweaty balls?
Yeah.
You dangerous girl. You want my big, bad, sweaty, stinky balls.
They hurry outside into the hotel, getting into an elevator and heading straight up to a room. She practically pounces on him once they're inside, begging him to get naked. And this is the first time that she's seen him fully nude.
Oh.
They take their clothes off and then they hit the bed. I hate myself for what I wrote in this note, but he kisses down her body and then eats her sweaty kitty until she comes multiple times.
Nasty, Shelby. Shelby, naughty girl.
And then he finally fucks her.
He buried his face in my neck and held me tightly in place, plunging hard and fast, gasping raw, heated sex words that made me crazed with desire. I've never been so hard and thick. I'm so deep in you. I can feel it against my stomach. Feel my dick pounding into you.
I don't think I'd like that.
No, and honestly, he sounds like dumber than a box of rocks.
He owns half the city. He can't be that dumb.
Well, I know, but he's like, I can feel my dick pounding in you. I don't know. Something about him. I don't like him. Do you guys like him? What's the vibe? What's the vibe right now?
He gets worse. Don't worry.
Oh, God. Okay.
They both are awful.
I know. They're both kind of like just dumb. Dumb hot people.
And rich. Dumb rich hotties.
Honestly, I feel like if you're rich and hot, you can be dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have all three.
No. And pick at least two. You're going to pick hot and rich. No one's going to pick, you know, rich and dumb. Well, I mean, I guess you could be rich and dumb. I feel like you can pick two of the three and be mildly successful at least.
Yeah. But I mean, like, if I have a chance to be rich or not, that's what I'm going to pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be dumb. I don't care.
Yeah.
Imagine just being dumb, hot, and poor.
That would be a true tragedy.
It would be.
You'd have to kill yourself.
I mean, but if you were dumb, you wouldn't really care.
That's true. Wait, you'd be dumb, hot, and poor?
Oh, wait, no.
You said smart, hot, and poor, though.
Yeah, I think I only picked one of the three.
Yeah, then you'd for sure, like, you'd end
oh,
your
yeah,
life.
If you're smart, hot, and poor, you're...
Yeah.
You're taking yourself out real quick.
Yeah, because clearly you're not doing something right. Or you just have terrible luck.
True. Yeah. Sorry to the poor, smart hotties out there.
We stand in solidarity with you.
Stay another day.
Yeah, please.
They both come and then he asks her to join him in the shower. As he's getting in, she gets a good look at the bedside drawer filled with sex supplies. Her sex-filled haze kind of clears and she feels sick because he clearly went straight to a room that he owns specifically for sex. And she calls it his fuck pad. And then when she goes to the closet, it has drawers full of men's clothes and unopened sex toys too. So he takes all women there.
Well,
at least they're unopened, though. He's not reusing them.
It's like a souvenir. You fuck him and then you get to have it.
A parting gift.
She steals one of his shirts, scoops all the sex stuff onto the bed to be petty, and then leaves him alone in the shower. She walks to a pizzeria, gets some wine and food, hoping to clear her head, and she pulls out her new phone to schedule a therapist appointment, and she has 21 missed calls and a text from Gideon saying that he fucked up and to please not break up with him. He calls again, so she answers, and he begs her to describe where she's at so he can apologize. She does, and then he's there walking through the door. He hugs her, begging her to come back to his actual home. No woman has ever been there except his mom and his housekeepers. He pays her tab, and then they call a cab to leave. They arrive to his mansion, and he begs her to stay the night, which she does. She's very, like, twist my arm.
Yeah, she's like, all right.
I guess I'll sleep at your mansion.
Ah, fine.
She wakes up to Gideon having a bad dream, so she decides to wake him up and fuck his nightmares away. In the morning, they run by her place so she can get work clothes, and then they head to work where she gets a Google alert that her name is now associated with Gideon's due to someone snapping a picture of them, kissing, and selling it to the media. So the paparazzi is following this man around.
Oh, well, he does own half the town, so.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, he's not famous, but.
He's like Elon Musk or something.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, gross.
He's like worth billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
See, you can be smart, rich, and ugly and still be successful. Look at Elon Musk.
That's true. It's like a walking fart.
He is. That body.
Ugh. Yuck. That's the only time I'll body shame. That's not the only time I'll body shame a man, but I'll for sure body shame him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any political figure, I'll body shame you.
Yeah.
Fat, ugly loser.
She knows this might be her downfall because this is how her past is going to connect to her. She needs to see Carrie, and as she leaves for lunch to search for him, Gideon steps in front of her. She's nervous and tells him about the article, and he says that he already knows. He kind of planted it so people would know that they belong to each other. So he was trying to be romantic and be like, this is publicly who I'm with now. And she's like, oh, great. All my dirty laundry's about to come to surface.
Oh, no.
She tells him that they'll talk about it later, but she has to find Carrie. At lunch, she fills Carrie in, but he's kind of on Gideon's side. He did something semi-romantic, and she didn't like it when he made it all about her vagina, but when he publicized them being together, she also didn't like that. Besides, Stanton, her stepdad, buried everything so nothing will come to light.
My God, what is the tea?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Lying to my face.
She and Carrie celebrate him being on a Times Square billboard campaign. Carrie's a model.
Of course he's hot.
He's just so hot. They're all so hot.
Back at work, Gideon has a 15-minute window, so she heads upstairs. She kneels between his legs, unzips his pants, and pulls him out of his boxer briefs.
He exhaled harshly. Ava, what are you? My lips flowed over the wide crown. He reached back for the edge of his desk, his hands curling around the lip with white-knuckled force. I held him with both hands and mouthed the plush head, sucking gently. The softness of his skin and his uniquely appealing scent made me moan.
Plushy.
Plushy head.
Also, she's on her knees and unzipped your pants. What do you mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, dumb. Told you, dumber than a box of rocks.
She gives him the Gluck Gluck 3000.
I gripped his straining thighs in both hands, frantically working my lips and tongue, desperate for his climax. His balls were heavy and big, an audacious display of his powerful virility. I cupped them, rolling them gently, feeling them tighten and draw up. Ah, Ava, his voice was a guttural rasp. His grip tightened in my hair. You're making me come.
You're making me come.
She swallows everything, wipes her face, stands, adjusts herself, and wishes him a good luck with his 3 o'clock appointment. And then later that night, she wakes up to Gideon in her bed, rubbing her vagina and fucking her until they both come.
Oh, wow.
The next morning, Gideon joins her in the shower and fucks her before she has to leave for work. He then tells her that he had no nightmares last night sleeping next to her. He suggests taking her out for dinner after work and then coming back to his place for some more smushin'. But Ava's apprehensive about him getting sick of her if they spend too much time together, and he reassures her that he won't, so she agrees. While she's at her desk, she browses the internet and finds a photo of Gideon and Magdalena together last night while he was telling her that he was out at a business dinner.
Who the fuck is Magdalena again?
So his brother let it slip that he has like some ex named Magdalena.
Mm.
So she's like, who the fuck is Magdalena? It's getting posted online in the tabloids.
Embarrassing for you, girl.
Gideon sends her a message demanding she come to his office during her lunch break, but she's annoyed and says, sorry, I have plans, and goes out to lunch with Mark, her boss. But Gideon intercepts the plans and invites himself along with them, much to Ava's dismay. On the drive over, he asks her if she's ever fucked Carrie, and she's like, what the hell? No. He gets all possessive over her, and she's like, yeah, well, what about Magdalena? The argument continues on the entire car ride to the restaurant they're all going to, and thankfully, Mark is taking another ride there. So he's not just like sitting awkwardly in the car while they fight.
I was going to say, where's Mark in all of this?
Poor Mark.
But the fight continues out into the street, and Gideon tries saying that Magdalena was just at the same restaurant he went to last night. And Ava's like, well, she fucking hates me and you still speak to her and you're threatened by my GBF?
She's yelling at him in the street, but then he crashes a kiss on her, which she of course accepts. He allows her to go to lunch alone with Mark, and he leaves. And Mark is like, damn, that was quite the scene over there. So they were not subtle at all with their fighting.
Oh, okay.
They were like Sam and Ron fighting on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Ugh, I kind of like love couples like that, but also scary. Couples that can like fight in public, I'm like,
yell louder, enunciate.
Come on, what are you guys fighting about?
After work, Gideon has a dress all set out for Ava for their dinner date. But before they head out, Ava needs to shower, and Gideon says they need to talk about what happened earlier. When they're both sitting down in their matching robes, Ava tells him that she wants to tell him about her past. Her mother grew up with money, but fell pregnant with Ava unexpectedly, making her a single mom. But then she'd met Ava's future millionaire stepfather. Ava was 10 the first time her stepbrother raped her. So that's her trauma.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Once she says this, Gideon crushes the glass that he's holding in his hand, but tells her to continue. Her stepbrother's name was Nathan, and when he'd been suspicious that Ava was going to tell her mom what he was doing to her, he'd snapped her cat's neck and left the body on her bed. So Nathan's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, where is he? In jail, hopefully? Prison?
This lasted until Ava was 14, when she had to be hospitalized during a miscarriage and the doctors found evidence of extensive trauma. And it was like both holes had signs of trauma.
Oh, God.
Her mom left her stepdad immediately, but Ava tells Gideon that if this comes out in the media, she doesn't want him to be embarrassed by her story. And he's like, I would never be embarrassed of that. Also, I'm gonna fucking kill this Nathan guy. Then she tells him she has a bank account filled with hush money that she's never touched. So if he thinks that she just wants him for his money, he doesn't need to worry. And he's offended that she'd even think that he would believe she was with him for the money. Then the weight of her story crashes down on her and she tries to leave his house. He stops her and she tells him she can't do the hot and cold thing with him anymore. If he doesn't want her as much as she wants him, then this has to end. She strips off her robe and stands there naked and says, if you aren't hard looking at my naked body, then we can't do this. So she's like, I'm damaged. Look at my body. Does it make you horny?
You just told him that you were raped as a child and had a miscarriage, and then you want him to fuck you?
And then she's like, get your dick hard right now.
But Gideon's like, is this hard enough for you? And he pulls his dick out and it's rock hard. They crash into each other and he fucks her hard and frantic until he comes inside of her, but he doesn't pull it out. He pulls her so she's on top of him and tells her to show him how bad she wants him this time. And she starts to move her hips until he's hard again.
I hate them.
Yeah.
Rolling my hips, I relish the exquisite feel of him filling me so perfectly. I had no shame, no regrets as I worked myself into a frenzy on his stiff penis.
No plush head, just a stiff penis.
Stiff yeah. penis. Adjusting the angles to let the thick crown rub right where I needed it. Gideon, I breathed. Oh, yes. Oh, please. You're so beautiful. He gripped the back of my neck in one hand and my waist in the other, arching his hips to push a little deeper. So sexy. I'm going to come for you again. That's what you do to me, Ava. It's never enough. Just coming.
Yep.
Stiff penis. What a description.
She feels an orgasm building and she reaches down to start touching her clit, and Gideon throws his head back, obviously very turned on by this.
I feel you getting ready to come. Your cunt gets so hot and tight, so greedy. His words and his voice pushed me over. I cried out when the first hard tremor hit me. Then again, as the orgasm rippled through my body, my sex spasming around Gideon's steely erection, teeth grinding audibly, he held on until the clenches began to fade. Then he clutched my hips aloft and pumped upward into me, once, twice. On the third deep thrust, he growled my name and spurted hotly, laying the last of my fears and doubts to rest.
I got rid of her fears with his cum.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
So romantic.
They lay together, and he tells her how brave she is to tell him her story and apologizes for how he came on to her in the beginning. So now that he knows she was going through trauma, he's like, shit, I probably shouldn't have just gone up to you and been like, you want to fuck?
Yeah, probably not. You shouldn't just do that to women you don't know, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Also, in the workplace of all places.
But he owns it. It's fine. Who's going to fire him? Nobody.
That's true. I guess you're right.
She asks about his story, but he doesn't want to divulge and just reassures her that the only thing that matters to him is her. They make a deal that from now on, he tells her one thing about him that she didn't already know the day before. Then they get cleaned up and dressed for their dinner date. She also learns that he bought her lingerie sets and set aside a few drawers for her in his dresser. So she has like three drawers and they're all filled with lingerie.
Cute.
She's happy about this, but also gets scared about losing it. And when she voices this, he asks what he can do to make her more secure. And she says, let's go to couples therapy. And he says, okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's just like how to lose a guy in 10 days.
Yeah. Because I feel like if I was him, I'd be like, already?
Yeah, we've been dating for like 2 hours. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm not going with you. What are you talking about?
They have a lovely fancy dinner and go back to his house for a sleepover. But in the middle of the night, Ava wakes up to Gideon having a nightmare, telling someone to get off of him. And when she turns on the light, she sees he's sleep jerking and she wakes him up. He seems super embarrassed, but she wants to know what the dreams are about. He tries lying, saying he doesn't remember, but she's pissed, saying that that's not an acceptable answer, especially since she divulged her story to him. He still won't open up, so she storms out and goes home.
Yeah, I would go home too. I'd be like, what the fuck were you dreaming about? Because you were jerking it.
Why you sleep jerking?
Yeah.
How dare you not tell me about your trauma on my timeline? I'm leaving.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess when you put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Carrie holds her while she cries, and she tells him about what happened tonight. She texts Gideon that she's home safe, and then she turns her phone off. The next day at work, she doesn't hear from Gideon and is surprised when Magdalena comes by the office to speak to Ava. She sends Magdalena away without seeing her and goes out to lunch with Mark. But they run into Gideon's brother, Christopher, who invites both Ava and Carrie to a garden party at their parents' house this weekend. The parents want to meet her now that the photos of her and Gideon fighting passionately on the sidewalk came out online. So like, hey, I see that my son has this obviously toxic relationship. I'd love to meet her. She's stoked and says she'll be there. After lunch, Mark has a meeting with Gideon and he's sent back with an envelope to deliver to Ava. It's her keys that she left behind last night and a note that says, thanks for everything. And Ava's both pissed and sad. After work, she meets up with her mother who is furious that Ava told Gideon about what happened with Nathan when she was a kid. And Ava's like, how do you even know? And I guess Gideon called her stepdad and asked to get information on Nathan. But also, fuck you, mom. That's my story to tell. If I want to tell it, I'll tell it.
Yeah, she's allowed to tell it. But also, like, Gideon, that's a weird thing to do.
Ava shuts down and they continue on to their scheduled family therapy appointment. The therapist is concerned when he learns that Monica, who's her mother, has been tracking Ava's phone and insists that her mom respect her boundaries. Ava winds up apologizing for not giving her mom a heads up that she was going to tell Gideon her story. Which, like, don't apologize for that.
No, it's your story, girl. Tell whoever.
I bet her mom feels, like, responsible for it. So I'm sure her mom feels, like, guilt anytime she tells a story. But still, it's her story to tell.
Yeah, don't shame her. After the appointment, Ava hangs back and asks the therapist if he thinks it's possible for two abuse survivors to have a healthy relationship. And she's shocked when the therapist is like, yes, of course. Gideon and Ava haven't talked in 2 days when she finds out there will be a celebratory lunch at work because the agency landed some huge account and she's kind of nervous that Gideon will show up. She's missing him and 100% moping around. Gideon doesn't show up to the lunch.
Where are you, Gideon? Killing your brother?
Maybe. On Saturday, she has a day out with Carrie to try and get her mind off of things. And then on Sunday, her and Carrie head over to Gideon's parents' house for that garden party. And she's not so nervous because she was told that Gideon won't be there. He never goes to these things. So she's meeting his parents without him.
Yeah, that's weird.
Without even his knowledge.
Yeah, that's weird.
She's all dressed up and greeted by Gideon's mother, who tells Ava how excited she is to finally meet her. And his mom also makes weird comments like, oh, I'm surprised you're blonde.
And tall and skinny.
Wow, I would hate that.
His stepdad gives her a firm handshake, but thankfully Gideon is nowhere to be found. Christopher gives her a kiss on the cheek, and his little teenage sister Ireland is just off skulking in a corner like teenagers normally do. She tells herself that she doesn't care if Gideon shows up. She's only here for Carrie, who is going to be networking with Christopher. Because remember, he's a model.
That's right.
And Christopher's got connections. They're schmoozing around when Magdalena shows up, and Ava's like, great. Ava shares a dance with Carrie when she feels Gideon's eyes on her from the side of the dance floor. As Carrie walks away, Gideon storms up to her, telling her she shouldn't be here, and he looks furious. He starts pulling her into the house when a sultry female voice calls out his name behind them, and now Ava's like, oh, fuck you, I'm out of here. He tells her to shut up and let him talk, and she slaps him in the face. Then he grabs her and kisses her roughly. She struggles until she melts into it.
Okay.
Not a healthy dynamic at all.
No.
No.
He picks her up and carries her into a nearby library, shutting the door behind him. He tells her not to fight him. He knows she's disgusted by what she saw him doing the other night, and she's like, that's literally not why I left. He tells her he wants to make her want him again. He can try and be better for her. She's crying now, saying that she still wants him, but he hurt her.
You guys, please.
He asks how he hurt her, and she says because he lied to her and shut her out, but she just wants to know him and what he's been through and why he is the way he is. He assures her that he's trying to let her in, but she just bolts as soon as he clams up. He went to see her therapist on his own and was taken on as a patient, and if she agrees, they can do couples therapy together. He doesn't want to lose her. Then he tells her he needs to be inside of her now and drops to his knees, pulling her panties aside, and starts to munch down.
Good grief.
Just as she's about to come, Ava sees movement on the side of the room and makes eye contact with Magdalena as she's getting her pussy eaten.
Oh, nice.
But Gideon either doesn't notice or doesn't care because he doesn't stop, and she winds up coming right in front of Magdalena.
Oh, nice.
That's a power move.
That is.
Yeah.
But when Ava opens her eyes back up, Magdalena is gone. So Gideon pushes her onto the couch and just gets on top of her.
Then he ripped open his button fly and pulled his big, beautiful penis out. His BBP.
BBP.
And I didn't care how he took me, just so long as he did. I whimpered as he shoved into me, my body struggling to accommodate the wonderful fullness I craved, yanking my hips to meet his powerful thrusts. Gideon battered my tender sex with that brutally thick column of rigid flesh. Jesus Christ. His gaze dark and possessive, his breath leaving him in primitive grunts every time he hit the end of me. A trembling moan left me, the friction of his drives stirring my never-sated need to be fucked senseless by him, only him. A handful of strokes and his head fell back as he gasped my name, his hips rolling to stir me into a frenzy. Squeeze me, Ava. Squeeze my dick.
Squeeze him.
He comes almost immediately and they fall together on the couch. They cuddle a little bit and he tells her how much he missed this, but then gets super serious and once again tells her that he doesn't want her here. She needs to come home with him. When she gets offended, he's like, no, it's not you. I can't be in this house. I need to leave and I want you to come with me. When she agrees, he finally pulls his dick out of her.
The final few inches of his cock slid out in a rush and semen slicked my inner thighs. A moment later, two audacious droplets fell to the hardwood floor between my spread legs. Oh shit, he groaned. That's so damn hot. I'm getting hard again. I stared at the brazen display of his virility and felt warm. You can't go again after that. Hell if I can't. Cupping my sex in his hand, he rubbed the slickness all over me, coating the outer lips and massaging it into the folds. Euphoria. Okay. The hell if I can't.
As he gets her all horned up again, she grabs his wrist and drags his fingers to her butthole. But he freezes and says he doesn't do anal play. She says neither does she, but maybe he can help her reclaim the power over her own body. She trusts him.
Girl, he just said he doesn't do anal play. I would take that as like, oh, you think my butt's gross.
Or like, oh, maybe this mysterious trauma you don't want to talk about has something to do with it, but she's like, no, do it.
Touch my butthole.
You're thinking of all the things. I'm just like, yeah, your butt's gross. We held each other for long moments. I listened as his heartbeat slowed and his breathing smoothed out. I inhaled deeply, relishing the mix of his personal scent mixed with the scent of hard lust and harder sex. When the tip of his middle finger slid gossamer soft over the pucker of my anus, I stilled and pulled back to look at him. Gideon?
Girl, you both don't want to do this.
He tells her that he doesn't understand why she trusts him with this while knowing how fucked up he is, but she tells him he can give her body back to her, so he finally gives in and keeps touching her booty.
Gideon, we've been gone a long time. Someone will come looking for us. He put the slightest pressure against my he put the slightest pressure against my sensitive rosette, barely pressing. Do you really care if they do? Rosette?
I don't think we've had rosette.
No. My little rosette. I like that.
She says she doesn't care about anything right now and tells him she's never enjoyed anal play before. But as he continues playing with her, they agree on crossfire as a safe word. So they do agree on a safe word, at least, since they're just diving headfirst into their trauma.
His finger rimmed my anus over and over, pushing his semen into the puckered hole, a soft growl escaping him as it flexed in a silent plea for more. The next time he pressed against the ring, I pushed out and he slipped his fingertip inside me. The feeling of penetration was shockingly intense.
Oh my god.
She's really exploring.
He's breached her rosette.
Yeah. This is a traumatic event for them, I understand. But wow.
Yeah. He checks in with her, but she assures him that she's fine and wants him to keep going. And as he slides into the knuckle, she's shocked at how much she likes having her ass finger blasted, and she's about to have another orgasm. He slides his dick into her as he keeps finger popping her booty hole.
His hips nudged against mine, the wide crest of his penis massaging a sweetly tender spot. You're milking the head of my dick with those hungry little squeezes.
What do you say to that?
Yeah, I am.
As she's about to finish, they hear someone opening the library door, but Gideon smooths her skirt over her bottom half without withdrawing his fingers or his dick.
Sir.
It's Christopher, wondering where they are, and Gideon keeps pumping slowly inside of her as he answers his brother, and Ava has to bite down hard to keep from crying out as an orgasm blasts through her. When Christopher finally leaves, Gideon comes and then takes her to the bathroom to clean them both up. They have a tender conversation about being what the other needs, but he tells her she needs to stay away from Christopher, and she's like, why? He seems nice. And Gideon says not to trust him. His brother is dangerous. Then they head back to the party to say their goodbyes, grab Carrie, and get the heck out of here. Carrie leaves but gets a ride home from someone else, so it's just the two of them in the car. They head to Gideon's apartment and take a shower together, then put on some comfy clothes and order dinner. She walks around and sees a bunch of blown-up framed pictures of the two of them all around his apartment.
What the fuck?
And she's touched. She's touched that he seems to be as into her as she is with him. She's not at all creeped out by this.
They're not pictures that they took together like selfies. Like, they're the paparazzi photos.
Mm-hmm. And he just had them blown up and put on his wall.
That's so fucking weird.
Then he sits her down and starts talking about how they need to communicate about this new sexual path they're going down. He's a dom, and he needs her to understand that and be okay with it. She's apprehensive, but he pulls his dick out and starts running it along her vagina. She tells him how she isn't into the whole BDSM thing, but he says she likes when he dominates her and shows her a new room that he set up. It's a literal recreation of her bedroom at her apartment. And she's freaking out, asking what the hell this is. Which, like, valid question.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is exactly the same, like, down to the bedspread on the bed.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, he's going to kill me. He is going to kill
yeah.
me.
He tells her he wants her to have a safe place to be in his home. Then she gets on top of him in her new bed and slides him inside of her, trying to show him that she's in control, but she knows she's really not. Then he brings out a box and gives it to her. It's a ring, and it's described very weird. It's like leather and velvet with gold crosses on it, and the crosses are for Gideon Cross. And I didn't understand how it was velvet and leather and a ring, but it is.
Yeah, that's weird. Sounds ugly.
She says it's beautiful, but she doesn't know if she's willing to wear it. He says they can revisit it after they have some sessions with Dr. Peterson, who's their now couples therapist.
Good God.
A few hours later, she wakes up wet and aching next to Gideon. She's horny as hell. Gideon is snoozing away, and she's wondering if she's this aroused at the idea of being collared by him. So, like, should she be his sub? I don't know.
Oh.
She starts diddling away, thinking about how sexy this man is, and reaches over, sliding the ring onto her finger. Gideon wakes up seeing her do this and rolls over to kiss her, telling her to turn onto her stomach and grip the pillow. Then he tells her to spread her knees and don't move until he tells her to.
I was panting with excitement, my mind spinning with the possibilities. The flesh between my legs trembled with want. "Oh, Ava," he crooned, running his index finger through my slick cleft. "Look how greedy you are for me. It's a full-time job keeping this sweet little cunt satisfied." That single rigid finger pushed into me, parting the swollen tissues. Ew. I tightened around him, so close to coming I could taste it. He withdrew and lifted his hand to his mouth, licking my flavor from his skin. My hips arched without volition, my body straining towards his.
Cleft. What a word.
Tissue.
Tissue. Yeah.
He runs his dick around her opening until she's begging for him to just fuck her already. He slams into her and tells her she is not to come until he tells her she can. He's going hard and fast, and she's begging him to slow down because she can't hold it off much longer. Finally, she submits and says she'll only come when he tells her to, and he finally allows her to let go. She comes for, like, ever, and he tells her to roll over and hold him as he comes inside of her. Once he's finished, he tells her to sleep now. So she does. Like, he's literally just like, "All right, sleep." And she's like,
"Yes, sir."
Now it's Monday and she's getting ready for work at Gideon's apartment. She gets a text from Carrie, and it's a video that he shot at the garden party. And he'd managed to catch a private conversation between Christopher and Magdalena in the hedge maze.
Tea.
The two of them are kissing and Magdalena is crying. And she's telling Christopher that she thinks that Gideon is in love with Ava. And Christopher's like, "Don't worry, she's not his type." Then he lifts her dress up and starts fucking her right then and there. And I guess when he starts fucking her, he has this like demonic look on his face.
Oh,
yeah.
Ava shows the video to Gideon and he's like, "Yep, that's Christopher. He's a slime ball and wants everything that's mine." Ava takes this opportunity to tell Gideon that she loves him for the first time, which is a very odd time to do that. But she does. He has a visibly intense reaction, but doesn't say it back. So he's happy. She can tell that he likes hearing this, but he doesn't say it back to her.
Okay.
And throughout her workday, she's getting flowers every hour on the hour with seductive notes from Gideon. On her lunch break, she goes on a little shopping spree and picks out a ring just for him. At the end of the day, she makes her way to Gideon's office to give it to him. He loves it and tells her he can't think about anything but her, and this ring is perfect, just like her. He asks her to tell him that she loves him again, but she doesn't want to scare him off by coming on too strong and tells him how wonderful he is instead. He gives her a big old kiss and says he'll have a car sent for her at 5 o'clock and he wants her wet and wanting by then, but she's not allowed to come. Which, like, yeah, she's at work.
Yeah, when's she gonna come?
She obeys, and as soon as the car door is closed, he fucks her right there and then. Now she's back at her own apartment to get ready for her Krav Maga class. She goes back home and takes a bath when the class is over, and Gideon lets himself in, sliding into the bath with her. He begins to open up a little bit about how he doesn't remember his biological dad, nothing positive anyway, and she's thrilled that he's beginning to divulge about his past with her. After they're done, they have Chinese takeout in the living room with Carrie. Gideon seems like a totally normal young man in this situation, and Ava can't help but admire this side of him. So he's just being a dude.
Just being normal, for once.
After dinner, Carrie goes out with one of his hookups, and Gideon and Ava get ready for bed and make love. That night, Ava has a nightmare about Nathan attacking her. She can feel something pressing between her legs and a mouth covering her mouth. She's half awake, half asleep, with her face being pushed into her pillow, but the voice saying, "You're gonna know what it feels like," isn't Nathan, it's Gideon.
What the fuck?
She screams out their safe word and Carrie bursts in, pushing Gideon off of her. Carrie tells Gideon not to fucking move until the cops get here, and Gideon slowly wakes up all the way with pure horror on his face. Ava tries to explain to Carrie that it was just a dream. Once Carrie understands what's going on, he makes a little bed on the couch to keep an eye on things, and Gideon starts packing up his things to leave. She tries to stop him, but Gideon's like, "I fucking attacked you. I can't stay here." She tells him not to give up because of this. They have to work through this, and she knows he'd never hurt her, which, like, he literally just attacked you, so.
Yeah, he did. He did just hurt you, girl.
Once again, she says she loves him, but he's not having it, saying he's not good for her. She begs him to stay and hugs him. He kisses her, and once it starts to get passionate, she pulls away and says she can't do this right now. She just wants to be held. He holds her on the bedroom floor until they both fall asleep, but she wakes up a while later, reaching over, grabbing his soft dick, stroking it until he hardens. Which is insane because you guys are both having traumatic responses to sexual abuse.
Yeah.
So you reach over and start stroking his dick while he's sleeping?
Ugh, God.
She tells him she wants to take back their power and forget about what happened. He kisses all over her body, apologizing profusely and begging her not to be afraid of him. He makes his way down her body and eats her out until she comes. Then he slides into her, asking her to look at him the whole time, and goes slow, making sweet, sweet love to her. She comes again, but just as Gideon is about to follow after her, he pulls out, denying himself the pleasure. So she sits up and starts aggressively sucking his dick.
Damn it, Ava. Fuck. He stiffened and gasped, his hands shoving into my hair, his hips bucking. Oh, fuck. Suck it hard. Oh, Christ.
Oh, Christ.
He exploded in a powerful rush that almost choked me, coming hard, flooding my mouth. I took it all, my fist milking pulse after pulse up the throbbing length of his cock, swallowing repeatedly. They're having some weird moments.
They are.
They need to see their therapist like a couple weeks
ago.
Yeah,
they need to go to couples therapy.
She keeps sucking until he begs her to stop, and then he buries her face in her neck and cries until he falls asleep. They head to work together the next day and are both tender and loving with each other to try and erase the trauma from last night. Eventually, the tension seems to dissipate. After work, she heads to her apartment and walks right into a fight between a female hookup of Carrie's and a man named Trey, who seems to actually have potential for a real relationship with Carrie. So Carrie is like self-sabotaging this potential relationship with Trey, who's a really nice guy with some skink, and Trey walked in on it.
Carrie
was fucking skanky Tatiana when Trey stopped by to check in on Carrie, and it all blew up. When Carrie and Ava are alone, she tries to talk some sense into him about self-sabotaging with this chance at a real relationship with Trey, but Carrie bites back, telling her that she's dating someone who's literally going to attack her in her sleep, and he's not always going to be here to save her. They come to a truce by cheersing to being fucked up, and then Gideon comes over for dinner. As they eat, he tells Ava that he had lunch with Magdalena and showed her the video of her and Christopher at the garden party. But Ava gets pissed that he'd taken her phone and sent the video without consulting her first. So her first thought is, why did you take my phone and send the video to yourself?
Hey, my first thought would be like, why'd you go to lunch with Magdalena?
Why couldn't you send it to her?
Yeah, you have her phone number.
Or maybe a nice phone call. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ava gets in his face about boundaries, explaining that she needs him to respect her privacy. He finally says he's sorry and he won't do it again. Then they continue on with the Magdalena conversation. And Magdalena was hurt by seeing the video because it was obvious that Christopher was basically just using her as a fuckhole. Then they talk about his most recent therapy session with Dr. Peterson. Gideon's been prescribed medication to help him sleep, but if Ava doesn't feel comfortable sleeping next to him, he totally understands. She tells him she wants him next to her, so he sleeps over, neither of them waking up once. After work, they go to the gym together, and seeing Gideon all dressed down and sweaty has got Ava feeling hella soaky.
Soaky.
Just like his sweaty balls.
Yeah, she loves a good sweaty ball.
She does.
Gideon notices and tells her to wait until after the gala dinner they're scheduled to be at. Then they can go crazy wild. They shower together, not having sex, but touching plenty, and Ava is dying. They dress up nice to go out, but now Gideon's all bricked up, seeing Ava's cleavage spilling out of her tight little dress. The dinner is poppin', and Ava's having champagne, and she's dancing with Gideon. Then they run into Magdalena, who's speaking to another woman. Gideon brings Ava over, for whatever reason, to introduce her to this new person, and we learn that her name is Corrine, and Corrine is beautiful.
Oh, yeah? Yep, yep, yep.
Ava's feeling threatened and is like, hey, I'm Ava, his girlfriend. But Corrine seems happy to meet her regardless, saying any girlfriend of Gideon's is a friend of hers. Gideon gives Ava a kiss on the temple, then takes Corrine to go speak to someone off to the side, leaving Ava and Magdalena alone together. Magdalena seems especially sad about something, so Ava decides to play nice and compliments her new haircut. And Magdalena says, yeah, I cut it once I found out Corrine was coming back. No reason left to try and emulate the one who got away.
Wait, so like, Corrine is Gideon's one that got away?
Yeah.
Oh.
According to Magdalena.
Shit. Another one she has to compete with.
Apparently, Corrine and Gideon were engaged once. Corrine broke it off, married someone else, but now she's getting divorced and she's back. Magdalena looks at Ava and is like, I know you love him. I'm sorry for what I said to you when we first met. Ava says she knows Magdalena has loved him for even longer than she has, and they sit together drinking champagne and mope together over Gideon.
Oh, God, girls.
Absolutely crazy. Gideon brings Corinne back to the two of them, saying he has to go speak to someone really quick. And Corinne tells Ava how happy she is to meet her. She's heard so many good things from Gideon. But Ava's like, I know your history with him. You still love him, don't you? And she says she does, but who could blame her? Everyone loves Gideon. I'd punch her right in the face.
Yeah, I'd be like, no, nobody but me.
Walking away from him was the biggest mistake of her life, but she knows how much Gideon cares for Ava. She'd come back the night he gave his speech at that gala, and when she'd called to tell him, Gideon had told her he'd met someone, referring to Ava. Then she realizes that when Gideon left that night after they fucked in the limo, he left because he was going to go see Corinne. So the phone call that he took after they fucked was Corinne. Now Ava's pissed and stands up to go find Gideon. He's at the bar and she tells him she's leaving. He knows what she knows and tells her she's being ridiculous and she's like, no, the fuck I'm not. He tells her she needs to be fucked now. That's his solution.
Oh my God.
He grabs her and leads her outside where a car is waiting for them. He tells the driver to go around the block until told otherwise. This poor driver.
Yeah,
I know.
I think there's a partition.
Hopefully.
They get in the back seat, and he tells Ava that while he's inside of her, Corinne is alone inside the building, which is diabolical, but okay.
I'd be like, don't fucking say her fucking name right now.
He finger blasts her until she's begging to be fucked, so he tells her to lie on her back with her legs spread as he pulls his dick out. He slams into her, and she's telling him how good at this he is. She comes twice before he comes inside of her. Then they head back inside, not leaving one another's side the entire time. But this kind of just turns into her following him around the room as he talks to everyone, and she's just standing there awkwardly.
Oh.
Then she's approached by a man named Dr. Terry Lucas, who comments on how bored she seems trailing behind Gideon and offers to buy her a drink at the bar. And Gideon turns around and tells Terry to walk away now. And Ava's like, no, it's fine. You do your thing and I'll go get a drink. But Gideon tells her not to move. Terry looks right at Ava and tells her that all the money in the world isn't worth letting someone order her around. And she looks at Gideon and just says, crossfire, their safe word.
Oh.
She walks away from both men and texts Gideon that she's not running away, but she is leaving. What's the difference?
Yeah, I don't know. Their relationship is so toxic.
She grabs a cab and goes to her apartment. But as she opens her front door, she sees the unexpected happening in her living room.
I stood riveted on the threshold, flooding the hallway behind me with blaring techno pop. There were so many body parts involved. I had time to hastily slam the door behind me before I pieced them all together. One woman was spread-eagled on the floor. Another woman's face was in her crotch. Carrie was banging the hell out of her while another man was drilling him in the ass. Oh my God, he's just having an orgy while she's gone?
Yeah.
Go Carrie, I guess.
She screams at everyone to get the fuck out of her house. One of the dudes stands up and is like, hey, 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 there's room for one more, and makes a move to approach her. She tells him to back the fuck up, and then Gideon bursts in, punching the man across the room. Now Carrie's pissed, but she tells him to get all of this the fuck out of her house. She walks straight to the bathroom and starts the shower and just sits under the spray. Then Gideon comes in after her, and she tells him to go home, but he says no. And she's like, why don't you go hang out with Corinne? And he says, I barely even said goodbye to her because I was chasing you. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Fuck you.
Mature, I love it.
She says he basically ignored her all night. She doesn't know what his beef is with Dr. Lucas, but the man had a point. He wasn't treating her well at the dinner. And she saw that he looked at Corinne way more than he looked at her tonight. And he's like, is this because I haven't said I love you? Is that what you want? And she's like, just go home. But he says he is home. He loves her. Of course he does. Ava is just done and asks him to leave. He says that the reason he hasn't said it is because it's not the right word. He's been loved by other women, but Ava's the only one who's loved him despite knowing how fucked up he is. Love is nothing compared to how he feels for her, and he's loved her since the first time they fucked in that limo.
All right.
And she's like, oh, is that why you left me to go be with her that night? And he admits that, yes, he called her and told her he was with someone that night. And when he'd heard how hurt she was by this, he went to her to end things completely. When they were engaged, she was the one who proposed, and he figured this was as close to a real relationship as he'd ever get, so he said yes. And he thinks that she'd called things off to try and get him to show that he actually cared, but it didn't work because he didn't care about her the way she cared about him. This winds up calming Ava down, and they start to have an actually productive conversation. He tells her that Carrie isn't a safe person right now, and Gideon won't be able to protect her once he takes his sleeping medication, so they need to head back to his place. They'll figure out how to support Carrie in the morning. She agrees, but says him having a friendship with Corinne is a hard limit for her. He's not quite grasping why this is such an issue for her, but ultimately says okay. As they drive back to his apartment, he hands her own set of keys to his front door. She looks at him, knowing they still have a lot of work to do on themselves and each other. He tells her that tonight was rough, but they got through it, and he can't wait to get her back into his bed, and she kisses him, knowing they'll heal together eventually. The end.
Jesus Christ.
And this is just the first book in a series, and I think the rest of the series is them. So hopefully they get healthier.
Well, they're in couples therapy, so if they're not getting healthier, they're not learning anything, and they should stop going.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
Honestly, I didn't like it very much. Just their vibe, the way they spoke to each other, especially him. I hated Gideon as a whole. I think I'm going to give it 2.5. It was entertaining, but like not entertaining enough to make up for what I didn't like, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
What did you guys think?
I gave it a 3-star. They fought worse in the book. It was like every other page they were breaking up or fighting. I can't take that many third act breakups.
Hell no.
When it's every act of the book.
Yeah. It was like every time they were together, she was like, no.
Where are you going? I gave it a 3.25. It was entertaining. There were a few chuckles that came out of me. I'm not sure if they were meant to happen, but the dated verbiage was very funny to me.
Yes, I did like that.
And on our next episode, we are telling Riley all about The Pucking Wrong Number by C.R. Jane. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And I will say the reviews on Goodreads are abysmal.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so I think it's going to be a hockey romance. Obviously, there's a fucking puck and a stick on the cover. Okay, let's see. I think our male main character, he's going to be a bad boy hockey player. He's going to be like a rude guy. Everyone hates him, but he's the best hockey player on the team. And this girl, she just moved to town and she runs into him at the bar. And you know what? He's like kind of a dick to her, but then like not. And she's like, oh, he's kind of hot. And they have like a little fling. And then turns out she knows somebody that knows him. So they're in the same circle now. So they got to like keep it on the wraps. But like he's just a bad guy. He's just so rude. And yeah, they just got to work through it, you know? How do you tell?
I mean, it's a hockey romance.
I'll take it.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I do blind reactions to Reddit erotica every Tuesday.
Yeah, do it.
Please check us out on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast.
Tell your friends, but not your mom, and we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.